Hello and welcome to the Privacy Week 2020, day 5. It's already evening. Everything is really relaxed. There still is a workshop happening until around 8 p.m. But here we are now using glasses or lenses. And a lens of theoretical theory of education. So we have Florian and Tianjian. So his title is an assistant in a science. And yeah, hello. So for the next 45 minutes, you talk about the topic privateness and self-determination between, well, autonomy and the public. And yeah, have fun. Have a good evening to all the people on the before the screen. It sounds a bit weird and long, but and maybe it is, but it's also a nice thought. So maybe to think about this for longer, if you are on a train and have time to do so. And thank you for participating. And I mean, you are doing this for a whole week. And I want to thank all the organizers for the infrastructure, for the tutorials, for the moderation, and yeah, for everything. Yeah, nice evening. We are very happy to be on this platform for the public. And I can imagine that many people are looking at me. And I can feel some social stress, but I don't see anyone right now, so that's okay. So yeah, thank you. It's a very nice combination of realness and digital life. So me, Chenchen and me, we want to give you a perspective that results from theoretical thinking of social sciences. And we want to talk about the language, the wording, and also the thinking of it. So we will reduce us and move and hide in our thinking, and we try to understand what is happening. So, for example, the word of publicity and the public life, that can help us to understand how relationship between people changes, and the isolation of within the state that's happening right now shows that the private life gains of importance and all the boundaries are changing. So there's the idea that words are like grips, like handles that we can use to handle reality. And of course, a word cannot contain all of that which it appears to. That means that using words and wordings, we can influence reality, but we can also influence the words. So how do we use the words and terms and definitions? And when we are thinking about thinking and understanding, again, understandings about understandings, then we see that understanding understanding is the topic, and all of these words and terms, they are changing and morphing over time, and it's a process. So there is a network of connections connected to democracy, and a lot of ideas, my ideas, your ideas about democracy, that's maybe a minimal definition that many of us are sharing. So there's a write-up from 1962 that's about changing of structural change or structural change of society. It's from Jürgen Habermann. And he writes that it's about, well, core problems of our present, but also past and the future. And future. So now pedagogy is asking future? Yeah, future. And that's an important point or an interesting point because everything we do is about the future. So the public is also a problem of education. And education understood as a self-construct that is not, so education is not just what happens in school, but everything we do is part of education. And that's a super far-reaching term, and we try to reduce it. But Habermas also talks about what is civic democracy. So how do civic does the civic population participate in democracy? So maybe a short word to structural change. So there's not necessarily a structural change because of digitization, but there can be in the long term. So there will be new forms of organization, new institutions, new contents and communication changes, and all of what I was now mentioning results from how people interact with the medium and not the technology in itself. And that's something that's really important to us and something we want to stress. And that also impacts the public. And that includes the self-determination and free choice. How do I want to live? And this choice is not isolated. It's not isolated within the society or the community. Yeah, and that's a very basic point. Yeah, Chen, do you want to talk? Thank you for the introduction. So, as my colleague introduced, publicity or the public is not a fixed term, it's always based in interaction. And now we want to make it publicly visible and audible and give a small start into this big field, and at the same time, talk about our own position and maybe reflect about it. Nowadays, when we talk about privacy in the digital age, we think about threats and big data, so threats to our privacy. Privacy seems to be something that's endangered. So, how can we protect it? Is autonomy in the digital age something that we just invented? And we say no. The autonomy of the person is not influenced and limited by an algorithm. So autonomy is not total freedom anyways. We talk about freedom as a relation between options of action, and privacy is no 100% privacy where you have complete freedom. Privacy and publicity are not in conflict with each other. They are in relation to each other. And a private room, in the private room or area, our acting is also influenced by the public space. So we cannot celebrate as loudly as we like, and also there are security measures that are influencing our private behavior. So everything in this relational relationship means also responsibility. And so you know those rules and can use them to your own benefit. And you always have to see the public benefit as well. And with these terms, we now see digitality. Digitality brings a controlling and surveillance, but also freedom. The border to production of content is made. Everyone can start creating, and nowadays we can still define how this code should be created and how society should develop. We are always at the fork in the path of development. How we get the competence to define our own acting, we can decide, and that's the main idea of our talk. And I want to give back to Florian. He'll explain why it makes sense to think about that term.
Okay. Well, so what do you think about when you think about this word public, the public? So it's rather like a nebulous mass with different opinions somewhere outside. Public is not this what it seems to be. It's not very, it's not easy to grip. If you just look at it, it's like you see many dimensions. We know when we talk about like public relationships, labor unions, stuff like that, which is organized stuff within a public, as like in a consensus democracy, as in Austria. And we know what we intend to mean if we say like public transport. So it's something like the state or the community, the county. There's an institution for the public, but we have to ask, so who is included in the public? So we just have to look at the recent voting and election in Vienna and check this very practically, because we ask about the democratic quality. So if we have election and political public means everything, but then one third of the people can't actually vote. That was a problem in the Viennese election, because we have a lot of people who still don't have their voting rights except for living here for a long time. Public transport, we understand, but public, what's that? Or public opinion, that's much harder to define. And public and privacy are concepts or ideas. You could say like public is itself a medium, but it's definitely a symbol for democratic participation. And what we can say about the public as well, and this is definitely according to the Frankfurt School of Thought, which was founded by Jürgen Habermas, that the meaning that public has a history. And so public has to be understood as socio-historic, and it's fundamental for politics at the same time. So you also need an ideological critical standpoint on that. So one thing you can explain and the structures about public is like just illumination at the 18th century. So we go away from the kings and went towards like the people, which we would like to reach through the politics. But after they beheaded so many people, how did they actually know what the people want? And this is where we have like an intellectual sphere of like salons, theater visits, etc. like that. So this was created before you had elections and mass media. So that was, of course, very elite. It was white, male, but it's a historical dimension. If you look at it, it's about like classes and different classes of society, which are marked as participation in society. And so since illumination, we need to define private versus public spaces, or this idea of public versus private spaces was also created that women possess the private room and men the public one. And these gender-based assumptions means that women are excluded from a lot of public from public things like this, like Switzerland, which only introduced election for right for voting rights for women in 1971. And we also see the same thing in modern media. So so public communication is often establishing gender hierarchies. And I think you can all like imagine that. For humans, it's definitely not irrelevant what others think. So this is why we actually talk to a public and we want to influence a public. And at the same time, we see that the political state and the living conditions we are born into by this state, that these living conditions, enable us to have education and where we can educate ourselves with speech. So language that is public and speeches which are public is something where we go into. So public is structured by exchange, politics and speech. As Jürgen Habermas said, it remains a hard thing. But in the 20th century, something changed. Oh, sorry, it's enlightenment, not illumination. So the public, so general voting has been normalized, which of course isn't really true because established public doesn't talk about others. So we have a mass culture which really changed everything. So we have a structural change again, which also Jürgen Habermas described very negatively, but which he then withdrew. So structural change, Habermas describes, means the following thing: a change of established connections from which public is built, and the kind of order we have. And on the other hand, behind this stands the actions of humans which interrelate. So in language, structure means like syntax, so how symbols are ordered and assembled. Structure doesn't mean a perfect picture of reality, so you don't cut something out, put it into a book, and then you just have the same thing. So reality can't be captured perfectly, but this is about depicting a relationship network. So talking about certain kinds of relationships which have kind of stability, which make up language. So then mass and public. So public has been changed by two things. First, like mass consumer stuff. So suddenly ads and market were done for masses. And the second thing is still like election rights, which has been expanded to many people. So suddenly economists and politicians had the same aim, to target the biggest possible group of people. So this is why they started having standard people, averages, mass culture, also a very pet topic of mine. So looking at mass culture, suddenly you have statistics, which became very profitable. And all those polling institutes to check like which political decisions are seen well, which are others, how will elections will end, and this also like influenced how people thought about it. And also the institutions wanted to, on the one hand side, they wanted to predict the future, and on the other hand side, they wanted to guarantee their own profits and increase their revenues. That means media plays an essential role in this. Literature, photography, pictures, images, all of this add to what defines public. So public is, it's not really real, it's just half real. It's a linguistic phenomenon. Maybe we can talk about this in the break room after that. But public is a picture, a symbol, a kind of mood. And public can be used and abused. So, and the word of public can be used to combine different phenomena from the social world, economic world, and of education. So, okay. So, also, Florian just talked about change history of public from this salon and like small table society until developing into a mass public. Of course, there is no clear verbal definition of this of this word public, which is unusual. Usually, everyone has a vague vague idea what is meant by privacy and public. So like public is something together. So if you're like in church or on the street, so it's a room where everyone is visible and audible for everyone. In this general room, society, just plays its game. For example, now we have to wear protective masks. Then we, of course, smoking is prohibited in many public spaces in Austria. At home, privacy is different from the public. It's something where you can hide your inner stuff, where you can have like your body and but also like your bank account are part of privacy, which should be defended by constitution and protected by constitution. And we ask, how private should private be? So we'll have to think very carefully about what kind of criteria do we can. So because we have no words for describing this difference between privacy and public. So example, in the live stream here, we're like a public realm. So in the internet, there is no private rooms, but at the same time we're at home, Zoom account or other private accounts are actually still public. So in the digitalized connected world, the borders between privacy and public really go apart. So if we think them as two totally different things, then we will get to in a one way. So this won't work. So this is why we don't want to talk about the difference between this, but we think that public is a functional term. So between consciousness and reality. So public is somewhere between, it's a sphere that is between society and private people. So we understand it as a communicative room, as Habermas does. So here's a quote. Okay. This in a communicative actions, no chance, sorry. I suppose you have it here, his book. Definitely read up Habermas if you want to understand that, but I can't translate that quickly, sorry. Okay. So, by participating, people will be integrated and their interests will be talked about.
And that's a process that cannot be concluded. The meaning of publicity lies in their potential to create a room, a hegemonial room and structures. So this structure is constructed or reconstructed. And Habermas thinks that the audience have their own interests. They can agree on certain points. The so-called societal self understanding And that's the option to even create a consensus and agreement. And that's a room where talking takes place. That references Immanuel Kant's writing about intelligence or agreeableness. And so reason and vice are the basics of living together. So everyone is referencing themselves. And in the public, it's enabled to decide your own fate. So the public is a place where you free yourself from your from your immaturity. So here we are not talking about free individuals without a society. We are always talking about a society that enables your freedom. So people have to act themselves towards the good. And because of that, the term of publicity does not talk about a fact or something that is, but something that is more of a process or something that should be. And he also talks about a violent process, so or a change from a self-determined society to a consuming society. So an algorithm is the medium of a negotiated reality. So the algorithm takes part in the production of a reality that is accepted as true. But because the algorithm is invisible for the end consumer and end user, but it influences how we view reality, it's part of manipulation systems. The current in the digital age is a mixture between virtuality and reality. So we are right now in a virtual room in space, but our communication is real and our image is both real and digital. You, for example, are not here physically, but you can ask questions. And if you give a thumbs up or a like, other viewers can guess how well our talk is liked and accepted. And this leads to a naive sense for thinking what you had related to you is a public opinion. For example, social bots. So these bots can automatically send comments or messages, but we cannot recognize that easily because they assume a human identity, and this way they try to create a sense of a certain opinion in the internet. Or another example is a filter bubble. It works by connecting people with similar opinions, so you would think that a lot of people share your opinion, a lot more than actually share your opinion. And otherwise, if you realize that a lot of people did not share your opinion, you might tend to be silent. And in the end, our opinions are homogenized. So we are not pessimistic about technology, and we do not think that this internet makes a totalitarian system. However, it is a very elemental societal system, and especially for education, we have to think how could private people be influenced to become autonomous and self-determined about what they want. So I'll hand over to Floria. Yeah, so it's not about pessimism about technology. It's about positive reinforcement for each and every one in the education, in kindergarten, in school, and to actively take part in the society and take part in creating technology and in emancipation. And that is very, for that we need media that have a language component. And a lot of digital media are based on language as well. So humans, when they want to communicate, need media to have a relation to the world. So one mode how education could work is spoken language, books, digital media. And what is important about that, what's important to understand, is that language is never a private thing. It's never a private language. There might be private information, but language is always referencing a public relation, a social relation. And private information, or maybe a informational difference. And this part of talking is different depending on if your computer is running or not. If you're talking in a sociolect, in a dialect, or what language you're talking, but also what topic you're talking about. If we know it, we know that from everyday life. So pedagogically or at school, we need educational spaces that allow educational processes. And now that something who already talked here at this conference, who said that, so we need spaces where people can use their sovereignty and can establish their sovereignty about free, just, and solidary power usage. And so we try to emancipate ourselves using language. And of course, we also need creativity using, creativity and by creating things. And all that includes language. Often when we are talking about education, a lot of that is just nice words and poetry and wordings, but it's also important. And this factor about changing structures, which we are part of, is, for example, that the position of speakers is changing by digital media. And also national language borders can be overcome. So language and publicity are strongly intertwined, because every mutterance that you do is public in a way, because every time you use words, you use language, it is public in a way. And just by using this publicity, you can turn back and you can withdraw into your private area again. And privacy, that's of course not entirely right. So violence and force, that's also both in the public, also, but also in the private area, because that's where they happen. So this is a small notion. But yeah, already learning a language is a public thing. Children learn language in a public context. And even if a child is running around and has pain, it has to learn to name the pain. And naming something, that's very interesting. So finding a term for something, and learning and education are social things, and learning pain and also learning what follows from original things that take place, that's a very important thing. Rules and rulings are also very social things. They govern something that happens in the society, and that also shows in the language. And that's why every time we talk, it's a public and social thing. And that also always affects democracy. So basic democracy and other forms of democracy, it's a qualitative decision and about education. And that's something we want to strengthen. And yeah, as I mentioned, that democracy is a very important thing, and it needs strong individuals, otherwise it will fail. And so the opportunity and the ability to self-determination, it counts. And public discourses take place about public discourses and discussing the borders of the private. That's how humanity is defined. The freedom of people, of humans, have to be negotiated. And there we enter ethical questions. And the question, it starts as a border point, as an entry point, as an anchor point also. And all the chances and risks that we were talking about this week, they are important and influence the education of every person themselves. So the accessibility and education, they are not happen isolated by themselves. But there are social inequalities. They are also in the digital media, but they are also the basis for me. So they also influence me when I go into the public digital room. I have to have technology and ways to get my information. So we have to find a framework and create a framework that also works within the digital world and influences the personal experience. And the filtering and weighing of things is really important here. And we know this from several discussions, especially about net neutrality.
Well, and in theoretical education, we have to think about how we and the coming generations want to plan the future and how they can. And I want to finish that with the following quote and take anything else back to the discussion. So just because we don't know how each individual will define itself, all people have the possibility to define themselves and develop themselves. And Christian Swerts, from whom this is, said if you decide against self-determination, it's actually an act of self-determination to determine that you're not self-determined. So this word is a contradiction in itself in a case, and it's like an interesting thought game. So any statement is public, and I can't unpublic them. Chan Chan, do you want to summarize that? Sure. Okay, so yeah. To summarize, privacy and public are related and not totally separate. And as long as this is important, as long as we know that, we can stop total control. So public space is a place where power and counterpower will be created, and public is a critical word and term against intransparency of political processes or absolutism. So well, yeah, and also like this term counter public. So can there be a counter public in the public just the idea? Is that possible? Then democratical orientation is important for us, so that it's about democratic process which can start in kindergarten or school, and there's a lot of room for that. And handling digital media is one of the methods we can use that is inherent for the to that. And public is a linguistic concept. We talk about public and we create it actually by speaking about it, and by trying to define it as a term, we again do this linguistically. So what is about all of this like thought games? And we are very happy to talk about certain points about that in the public room. Thanks. Thanks, Chan-Chan. Thanks, Florian. So, yes, of course, for a long time, it has been said that the virtual world is an enemy to the public. Which is of course not true, the more people who meet each other who don't actually know them, they exchange ideas. So yeah, I think that the more life goes online, the more interest, the more people demand private rooms, sorry, I didn't get that. Okay, very interesting questions. So how private can be private? Do we live in a post-privacy age? What is this like play of between public and private playing out? So if you want to discuss, to join the discussion, if I'm right, Habermas said that like coffee houses are like the origin of public and discussing public. So we don't have a cafe, unfortunately, but we have breaking room where I would ask both our speakers to go there. And you, of course, dear audience, you can also join them if you want to discuss them. As a note from the translators, those the break room will not be translated, but those speakers clearly are able to answer questions in English. So if you have any, just join, ask your questions in English. You see the URL where you can find it, privacyweek.at/pausengespräche, which is a German word meaning break talk, so you can go there. Yeah, and it's totally right that the coffee house is very important, especially in Vienna. Yeah, I suppose that was not, shouldn't have been on the stream. So thanks for listening again. This translation, which was pretty hard, I hope it was kind of understandable, was brought to you by Dimir and B. So thanks for listening and watching. Have a nice evening and see you later. Bye.